I would like us to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter number 3. If you are in church, please say amen. Can you shout amen? Okay, I just want to be sure that we're together. Praise God. And when you are here, I want you to be here, please. In the next 40 minutes or thereabout, we're going to be out of here. But while we're here, I want us to be together. Acts chapter number 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. This is a very important passage of the scriptures, and we may not have opportunities to come there. So I want you to follow this story. It's a beautiful story, and I'm going to be coming back to that in the course of the moment. Acts chapter number 3, I'll read from verse 1. Now, Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, I want you to note that, please. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, note the word daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, note the word beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, note the word, fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting, note the word, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, note the word leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I said note the word about 4 or 5 times, isn't it? Can you remember all those words? Oh, okay. I can too. Okay. I'm going to be teaching this morning, by the grace of God, on a message that I've titled The Leap in the Year. The Leap in the Year. Leap is spelled L-E-A-P. The Leap in the Year. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, Spirit of the Living God, breathe upon your word. Let it come alive unto us. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to me this morning. Let there be an anointing upon the ears and the heart of your people. Let there be an anointing upon my lips, O God. Speak through my mouth this morning, and let us together as a people be tremendously blessed, especially at this time of the year, the beginning of the year. Lord, begin with us by speaking to us directly in the way we understand, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say big amen. The leap in the year, like I said, leap is spelled L-E-A-P. L-E-A-P. The message I'm teaching on this morning is so very much important, and is in two parts. It's both prophetic and instructional. It's prophetic and it's instructional. Prophetic in the sense that it talks about what is going to happen in the season ahead of time, and that's talking about fruit bearing, which was shared earlier by my wife, and instructional because it gives us information about how we can key in into the blessing of the season. So it's not just about talking about what will happen. It's also telling us about how to key in into it and take advantage of the season of bearing fruit. So it's both prophetic in the sense of telling us ahead of time before it happens, and it's instructional because it gives us the nuts and bolts of how to be a partaker of what's going to happen or what God has prepared and has planned to happen. This message is for two set of people, generally speaking. The first set of people is the people that you don't like where you are. You know, you're not so impressed about your position. I'm glad to announce to you that you are in the right place. The second set of people are those who believe that there is something more in God that they have not experienced. If you're such a person, I believe you're in the right place. For the first set of people are the people that I said they don't like where they are. And generally speaking, you know that the first step to getting anywhere is deciding that where you are is no longer good enough for you. That's the first thing to get out of wherever you are. So there is what I refer to as a force of repulsion. There is a repelling force because you just don't like where you are. And the second set of people are those who, like I said, they believe that there is more in God than they are currently experiencing. So there is a force of attraction from another end. So whether it's a force of repulsion because you don't like where you are, or it's a force of attraction to something greater, something better. Some people just feel that there is a better way to live than I currently experience, and that's good. Or there is a better way in God than I currently experience. That's great. So it's either you are so fed up of your current status, or you think that there is something more in God that you're not experiencing. Either way, you win, because you are in the right place. Praise God. Like I said, I'm speaking this morning on the leap in the year. How many of us know that this is a leap year to start with? All right, great. Not many people. Okay, I'm going to tell you now. It's a leap year. 2016 is a leap year. Last year was not. 2 years ago was not. 3 years ago was not. But this year, 2016, is a leap year. And it's not strange that not many people know about it being a leap year, because there was a study not too long ago done in the U.S., and they discovered that not many people even understand, understood the fact that the Earth revolves around the sun, and that was in America. You can be sure that the study is not going to be, I mean, the result of the study is not probably going to be too different if conducted here. So people have no clue that the Earth is moving. And I brought this little model of the globe, you know, just to do a bit of teaching. You know, I love teaching, you know. I don't know why I didn't become a teacher, you know. I love teaching. So I'm going to teach a bit of geography this morning, and I'm glad you are in church. You know, the church is supposed to be a beautiful place where you learn things that will help you spirit, soul, and body. You know, that's what I love about the church. The church does not just teach you about the spiritual things. It also helps your history, your geography, you know, your biology, you know, your science and stuff like that. It teaches you law. Doesn't make you a lawyer, but it teaches you law, you know, and all those things. Now, this is just a model of the globe. And every 4 years, you've got the leap year, right from 1752. Prior to that time, we were using what we refer to as the Julian calendar, after the name of the person called Julius Caesar. But around 1752, we changed over to what we refer to as the Gregorian calendar. How many people have heard of that word before? See what I'm talking about? Maybe 25%. So 75%, you owe me some money after the service, okay? We refer to as the Gregorian calendar, and that's what we're using now. Now, what happened is every 4 years, there is a leap year. Now, the reason for the leap year is this. There are two motions that takes place with regards to the heart, the globe. This is the picture of the heart. I can see my hometown somewhere there, you know, like a point. Okay, somewhere there. All right. So it moves in two directions. Number one, it rotates on its axis like this. It rotates on its axis like that. And then the number two thing is, let's assume this is the sun. The heart actually moves around the sun as a whole object that way. So there are two movements that takes place right now. I know you're not feeling dizzy, but it's taking place now, okay? This is moving this way, and at the same time, it's moving around the sun that way. Now, this one, the moving around here is what we call rotation, okay? And the moving around the sun is called revolution, all right? The rotation is around its axis. The revolution is around the orbit. Are you writing down? Okay. Now, the rotation takes place every day, all right? It takes 24 hours, and the heart completes a rotation, all right? And so that's why you have night and day, because it's rotating, okay? Now, you have year and seasons because it's revolving around the sun, and that takes approximately 365 days. So it starts from here today. For instance, maybe January 1st, and it will go around the sun, revolving around the sun, and comes back to the same point 365 days from now. That's the movement of the heart. So if you're able to locate where the heart is today, then you can be sure that in 365 days, roundabout, it will have gone around the sun, and it will come there again. Now, that's just the heart. All right? It takes 365 days. Of course, the other planets, the Neptune, the Pluto, the Mercury, the Saturn, they have their own number of Earth days that they revolve around the sun. Some of them has as short as 88 days. Some of them as long as 200 years before they move around the sun. I'm glad I'm not there, okay? So that's what happened. 365 days, it completes this rotation, this revolution. So night and day, for instance, we've had about three rotations since this year began. So that's why we're in January 3rd. So it's going through the third rotation around its own axis. And the revolution has already kicked in. Now, generally speaking, this is completed in 365 days, but there is more. There are 365 days and 6 hours. All right? So it's not exactly 365 days. It's 365 days and 6 hours. To be more precise, it takes place 365 days, 5 hours, and 48 minutes. All right? And of course, some few seconds. Don't bother about the seconds. Okay? So technically speaking, it takes place 365 days and approximately 6 hours, a quarter of a day. So the scientists came together and they said, we need to account for the quarter of the day that we've been losing, all right? Because every year we're losing a quarter of a day. So they said, okay, let's pull together the quarter of the day so that after 4 years, we'll have 1 year, or rather 1 day to each year, so that we can be sure that we are not outside the planar positioning of the Earth, because we will account for it every 4 years. By the time they realized that they've discovered that they've actually lost some days in the Julian calendar, and by the time they came up with the Gregorian calendar in around 1752, they had to add 11 days because they've lost those days. All right? So you can imagine that somebody has come to you today and say, oh, today is supposed to be January 3rd, but it's actually January 14th because we've lost some days in the past, and that means you're going to pay rent for the days you have not used. Okay? That was exactly what their experience was. All right? And then they came to a point where they added some days, and since then we've been using the Gregorian calendar such that every 4 years we had one day because of the revolution of the heart. Is it clear now? All right, great. Now the interesting thing is, it's not even every year that is divisible by four that you call a leap year. Some years are divisible by four, and they are not leap years. You see me for further studies, and you come with your money to learn about that, okay? But I just need you to know that not every year that is divisible by four is a leap year. It actually needs to be divisible by 400 to be a leap year in certain instances. But let's forget about that. Now, this year is a leap year, all right? And I'm not going to be talking about the leap year in the sense of the addition of a day. I'm going to be talking about it in the context of something different that I believe is more applicable to us in our day and time, because for many of us, it doesn't really make any difference. If they had one day, that's their problem. If they had 100 days, it's not of my, it's not your cup of tea. Now, but the important thing today is that there is a leap in this year that I want you to know about. And it has a connection with the direction that the Lord has given to us as a church. And that's the more important one that I want to talk about this morning. So what is the leap in the year for us? They talk about it as being a leap year. Many people have believed that the reason why they call it as a leap year is because the year after 4 years actually leaped forward by 1 day. There is a leaping forward by 1 day, just like I've explained. But what is the leap in this year? Now, you probably have heard of the term the leap of faith before, the leap of faith. And the leap of faith talk about taking a decision into something that has no support of empirical suggestion. There is nothing scientific that supports it, but you are taking that step. People talk about you taking a leap of faith because there is no science that supports your motion. There is no science that supports your position. You're just taking a leap of faith. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. When you say that, you are taking a leap of faith, because in your body, you're still sick. In your body, you're still weak. But you are believing that the Lord has healed you. That's a leap of faith. There is a business situation. You have no clue, no idea about it, but you sense in your spirit that the Lord is asking you to step into it. You're just taking a step of faith. That's exactly what happened at a particular point in time in Acts chapter number 3, the place we have just read. And I will just first go to verse number 10, rather verse number 8, and show you what the leap is all about for us as a people. Like I said, this message is both prophetic and instructional. And I'm going to be focusing more on the instructional part because we've already dealt with the prophetic part. The prophetic part is the fact that this year is a fruit-bearing year. All right, that you are placed at the covenant angle to bear fruit. not to be barren, to bear fruit that befits God and befits righteousness. So in verse 8 of the book of Acts, chapter number 3, from verse 8, he says, so he leaping up, stood and walked. Who was he talking about? He was talking about this lame man. There are two leapings that you find in verse 8. The first leaping and then the second leaping. The first leaping, what caused the first leaping? Look at it this way. There was this lame man who has been there for years. Only God knows since when he's been there. And then the disciples were going into the temple. And then they came across this man who had been there, you know, being brought there on a daily basis. And he was lame. In other words, he was not able to walk, so he was placed there. And Peter spoke to him and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And the man stood there looking. And the Bible says, and Peter stretched out his hand, grabbed him. All right? Because the man was not responding to what he said. He grabbed him and physically actually pulled him up. And the Bible says, the man leaping up. Now, what that means is, in fact, before the word says the man leaping up, it says there was a strengthening of both his bones in his feet and his ankle. So just picture this. I won't be able to demonstrate this and bring somebody here. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But just picture this. There is somebody on the floor who is unable to walk. And then there's somebody standing who grabs him by the hand and pull him up. Now, the pulling usually, when you are pulling somebody like that up, normally, if it was not for the power of God, what would have happened was the man would just have slipped up the ground. Why? Because there is no frictional force that is making the movement to stop. So there is no frictional force that is going against resistance to get him up. But in this instance, things have changed. The power of God has healed him, and his feet became strong. The tendons, the muscles, the ligaments are now working by the power of God. And Peter stretched out his hand and pulled him. And as a result of him pulling him, and as a result of the power of God already in his ankles and his feet, there is now a springing, as it were, all right, of the tendons and of the muscles, so that they are able to spring up against a resistance. And the man was able to leap up. All right. I don't know how many of you watch soccer games. Usually, when or any other game, and you've got your opponent or even a member of your team who is on the ground. Usually, somebody will grab them and then you pull them. When you pull them, they don't just stand. When you pull them, they do this. All right, like a kangaroo. Okay, why? Because there is a leaping of the tendons and then it comes up. That was exactly what happened to this man. If anyone had attempted that 2 days, 3 days before then, the man would not have been able to leap. Why? Because there is a flaccidity upon the ankle and the feet that is not making that work. So there is a first leaping up. What caused that? That was the leap up of faith. Faith of who? Faith of Peter. He has just spoken to the man, and the man was not responding to his word. And then Peter, by faith, by the action of faith, a spirit of faith came upon him, and he pulled him. That's not the position you're supposed to be at this time. I've prayed for you. I've spoken the word. I've just said you are healed in Jesus' name, and you're not responding. Come on. You are supposed to be responding. Okay? And then the man came up. And I wish many of us operate in that level of faith and not just say, in Jesus' name, come up. And the man is still there and say, okay, it's a mistake this time. Let me look for another person. No. It was not a mistake. The power of God was already on him, and by the power, by the spirit of faith, come on, you're supposed to. That's not supposed to be your position. And the man, the Bible says, he leaped up. Okay, that's the first leaping. That's what I refer to as the leap of faith. Okay, the leap of faith of Peter. Now, this year, I want to be very clear. That is a year that you will need the leap of faith to experience the fruit-bearing process that we're talking about. So the fruit-bearing is supposed to be the prophecy that God has given to us. The instruction is that for you to walk in it, you have to exercise what I refer to as the leap of faith. And that leap of faith must be an action. Faith is an action thing. It's not a passive word. It's an action thing. So there has to be, come up, if it's not responding to your word, because the word has gone forth. In the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, walk. That was what he told him. And he felt, you're not walking. There's a trouble, not with the word I have spoken, not with the Jesus I have spoken about, but with you. Come on, rise up and walk. And that was exactly what happened. So that was a leap of faith, an action word, the activation of the blessings of God and the pronouncement of God. And people of God, this season, and I prefer to use the word season because God works in seasons. Okay? God doesn't work in the frame of 365 days or 365, 5 hours, 5 days, 48 hours I've spoken. He works in seasons. And the seasons of God can outlast 365 days. And you can have several seasons of God in 365 days. Do you get what I'm talking about? So that's why we refer to it as the season of fruit bearing. Because God can speak to us in April and say, I'm moving you into another season. Okay? In a prophetic sense. And we may be in the season of fruit bearing for 4 years. And there will be no further direction. So if I don't stand here in 2017 and say this is the year of something, you know that it's because the season is still on. All right? Because it works in seasons. Okay? Now, so the season that we are in now, all right, is the season of fruit bearing. But the only way to activate the season is to walk using what I refer to as the leap of faith. So the leap in this year is not the leap of a day. The leap in this year that will make you to walk and shine well is the leap of faith. What that means is, if you have tried it in times past and you have managed to be living your life without faith in God, and you have been going by and just managing by, this year is going to be different because there is going to be a clear failure, obvious catastrophic failure of anyone that does not walk by faith. It's going to be clear, it's going to be evident that this one is not just making, and for anyone that is going to walk by faith and is going to stick to faith and is going to adhere to the spirit of faith, there's going to be a clear picture that this one is walking in prophecy of God. So I want to challenge you that gather yourself together, gather your hearts together. It is a season to begin to walk by faith. There is a leap of faith in the air that is going to catapult you into the fruit-bearing season. The fruit-bearing season is the prophecy of God, is the word of God that has been it is what can be. All right? That's what means about prophecy. It is what can be. It is what has been activated in the spirit to be. But it may not be if you don't follow the instruction. The instruction to walk in a fruit-bearing capacity is to walk by faith, is to engage in the leap of faith. There, like I said, there were two kinds of leaps in that particular verse 8. And if you read with me, so the Bible says, so he, leaping up, all right, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. The second leaping was a leap of joy, all right? The man was already healed. He found himself able to walk, and he started leaping like that. I don't know if you've been so happy before, you know. I get happy from time to time, praise God. So, you know, have you ever met some people that you wonder whether they are ever happy in their lives? I met somebody like that not too long ago. And I said, do you just smile for once in your lifetime? Because I've never seen him in any happy mode. He's always grumpy, as if he's just lost something, you know. But if you have, don't look at anyone now, just look at me, okay? if you have been happy before, you don't get happy and be walking. You're doing like that, you know. You just check the result and you made it, you know. Wow, you know. And then, you know, that's the leap of faith. That's the leap of joy, rather. But the leap of joy came after the leap of faith. The faith came by the activation of the power of God through the man called Peter, and the man jumped upon his leg, upon his feet. All right? So I want you to desire to live by faith this year. I don't want you to look around into the circumstance and the situations that you are in, how bad the situation is. I want you to leap by faith. If you walk by faith, if you walk focusing on faith, you will discover that you will be able to exhibit your fruit-bearing capacity, which God has prophesied upon your life. Is that clear, people of God? Excellent. Now, talking about the leap of faith, in order for you to remember, I would just want to use the acronym LEAP, L-E-A-P, to let you know that there are things that are going to be involved with the leap. All right. The things that are going to be involved with the leap of faith. In other words, what does this leap that we're talking about, what does it entail? And I I'm going to use the acronym L-E-A-P, LEAP. All right. Now, and I'm going to go through it using the story that we've just read. So it was 3 p.m. on a particular day, and Peter and John, I believe, they were going into the temple. And as they were going to into the temple, like I said, it was the ninth hour, which is approximately 3 p.m. You remember in the Jewish custom, they usually go to the temple at least 3 times a day, all right? And they were going at this particular point in time. There was a certain man, the Bible says he was lame from birth. In other words, his problem was really massive. What I mean by massive is his problem was congenital. You know, doctors talk about 2 kinds of problems. You know, when you go to their office, they will tell you this problem is either what we refer to as congenital or acquired. Congenital means the man is born with it. All right? Acquired means he contracted it while growing up somewhere, somehow. Okay? But everyone knows that a congenital problem is almost an incurable problem. You know? I didn't say incurable, I say almost incurable. It's usually an hopeless situation when you say, oh, so how did this problem start? Oh, I was born with it. Oh, you just see the doctor do like this, okay? Because he's lost faith, because you were born with it. But when you say, oh, it happened, it started 2 weeks ago, the man is excited because there is something in his book to give you, right? But if you are born with it, it becomes difficult. This man was born lame. In other words, his situation was really bad. It was congenital. And the Bible says they will bring him to this gate of the temple called Beautiful. The temple's name was called Beautiful, but his situation was not in any way beautiful. It was really ugly, you know, because he needed to depend on other people to bring him to the temple gate. Now, but when he saw Peter and John going into the temple, he did something that he would usually do. He asked them of alms, and that was actually what started the story. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice what is related, what the leap of faith requires, is that the leap of faith requires a look. Please say with me, a look. I want you to say it out loud in faith, a look. Good. Now, the leap of faith requires you to look. And the interesting thing about this story was when he got there in verse number 3, it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. You know, it was a strange phenomenon. The man was on the ground, lame, and then Peter came and said, and the Bible says he fixed his eyes on him. You know, that's a strange way. It's like somebody will say he's freaking. You are requesting for somebody to give you alms, and what he does is this. And he didn't just do that. He asked the man, now, what I'm doing, do it to me. Look at me. Fix your gaze on me. You know, if you are passing by, you know, a street in Perth, and you see so 2 people doing like this to each other, won't you call somebody to come and help them because you think they are both mad, you know? But that was what happened. The Bible says he fixed his eyes on him. The word fix is an interlocking of vision. Okay, he fixed his eye on me, and because the man, probably because of loss of self-confidence, self-image, he probably was looking away, you know, and he said, look at me, look unto us. In other words, when you say look unto me, it's not that you're looking at my chest or my trousers, you're looking straight at me on my face. So there is an interlocking of vision, okay, like I'm looking at Brian now, okay? the leap of faith requires a look. And that look is so important. You know the reason why Peter asked him to look at him? Because he knew that the first point to experience a catapulting, a change of position, is for you to look and to look at the right source. You need to look at the... He was talking from experience, you remember? You remember, I believe, in Matthew chapter number 14, he had an experience of what kind of things can happen when you look in the wrong direction. In Matthew chapter 14, he was in the boat with other people. It was in the middle of the night, and there was trouble. The sea was in turbulence, and they saw somebody on the sea, walking on the sea. Say, oh my, this is a ghost. Oh my goodness, this is a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it is high. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, ask me to come. And Jesus, I love that. There was no explanation. Come. Come. C-O-M-E. That was all. and power went into the water, I believe, and changed the constitution or whatever it is of the water so that it could bear the weight of, I don't know how big Peter was. Come. You know, don't you like it when you speak and power flow? Don't you like it? That's the life of a believer. That's the life that we're supposed to live. When you speak, the heavens open. We'll talk about it some other time. Now, so Peter came upon the water, and he was walking. And as he was walking, what happened? The Bible says, and he saw. And when he saw the boisterous wind, what happened to him? He began to sink. Now, Peter did not sink because he looked at the sea, as it were. Peter began to sink because he took his eyes off the Savior. So if the look onto the Savior is not fixed, interlocking, then there's going to be a crisis. Don't forget, if you read the earlier verses, we don't have the time, you discover that there was a boisterous wind before he actually stepped upon the water. So it wasn't a new development. But as he was stepping upon the water, his gaze was fixed on Jesus. So he was able to make that move. The leap of faith requires you to look and to look well in the right direction. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. People of God, this year, you need to look and look well. And make sure you're looking at the right direction, the right person. The right person. The look of faith, or the leap of faith requires you to look well. And it's not just talking about a casual look. It's talking about fixing a focus. That's what another translation says, calls it. It says focusing on Jesus. Another one says fixing our eyes on Jesus. There's a difference between look and focus. If you've got a camera, you can look at people and take their picture and they will look like hyena. Why? Because you did not focus. Okay? But when you focus, you get the right thing. There are instances when my wife knows that there are instances when I don't talk to people because I want to focus. And that's when I'm doing bank transaction. You don't talk to me. No, when my wife comes in and say, sorry, you're doing banking. She knows it's not a time to talk because I'm like this. Why? Because I don't want to transfer the money into the wrong account, not even into hers, because she won't give me back. Okay? So I want to focus on it. Okay? This is business. And that's exactly the same way the Lord wants us to focus on him. It's the look. The look, the focus on him. It's not a time, this year and this season, it's not a time to begin to look at your situation, your circumstance, your position, your work, the situation of your health and the situation of around you and the family situation that is so disheartening and the economic situation. Those things, when you look at them, you sink. You look at them and you sink. But the Lord says, looking unto Jesus. So the leap of faith into the realm of fruit-bearing capability begins, or rather involves, the right look. Look unto him. Look to him. Now, the second thing I'm going to be talking about is you remember we're going through the acronym LEAP. The second one I'm going to be talking about is E. And that's found in... So the first one in verse 4 says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So that's where we've got the word look. And the second one in verse number 5, look at what it says. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. Now, the leap of faith that we're talking about requires you to expect something. It requires you to expect. Lord, what do I expect this year? This is a question that if you have some people, even in our midst this morning, they have no clue, no idea. They have no expectation, basically. So what do you expect the Lord to do in your family? I don't know. He will do whatever he wants to do. I won't stand on his way. You know? What do you expect God to do in your career? I don't know. He will do whatever he wants to do. What do you expect to see in your children? You're asking me so much this difficult question. I don't know. What do you expect God to do in your finances? I have no idea. I have no clue. What do you expect God to do in anything? There is no expectation of whatsoever kind. People just go into the year clueless. You know, somebody will say, well, you know, I'm just contented with whatever the Lord does in my life. You know, it's a show of contentment. No, it's not a show of contentment. It's a show of cluelessness. That you don't have any expectation means anywhere they drop you is good. You understand? Because expectation talks about destination. So if you don't know where you're going, then anywhere is good. They can drop you in heavily. They can drop you in base water. They can even drop you in inside a gutter or something because there's no place. There's no destination, no expectation of whatever kind. The leap of faith requires you to expect something from the Lord. The leap of faith expects you to requires you to expect something from the Lord. If you're not expecting it, it is unlikely that you have conceived it. Have you ever met a pregnant woman? What do they talk about them? They said, she is what? Expecting. They said she's expecting. Why are they saying she's expecting? Because there is a conception. There is something in her. So she's expecting. So if you don't expect, then you have no conception. The womb is empty. Clear. Crystal clear. Because there is no conception of whatever kind. You know, but when you are expecting, that means you have a conception. Okay? Now, if you're not expecting, that means there is no conception whatsoever of what you what you want God to do. You know? Somebody said, do you have to actually know in specific details? No. You have no reason to know in specific details. But you need to expect something, and your expectation is supposed to be a reflection of your understanding of the promises. What you expect is supposed to be a reflection of the understanding of the promises of God. What does the Lord say about my family? What does the word say about my health? What does the word say about my business? What does the word say about my future? Those are the things that you're supposed to conceive first and then expect. The problem with most people not expecting is because they don't have the capacity to conceive. And you don't conceive without an encounter with the word, the seed of the word. It is when the seed of the word is planted in your heart, that's when it begins to germinate and produce, and you are supposed to have a baby in that sense. So the expectation, the Bible says, surely there is an end. Or another translation says, surely there is a hereafter. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6. And the expectation of the righteous, Old King James verse. The expectation, the new one says, the hope of the righteous. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. There is an expectation. There is an expectation to it. So the Bible says in that passage we have read that the man was expecting something. Of course, he wasn't expecting a miracle. He was expecting something else. You discover that the passage we are using now does not even refer to anything like faith, belief, or whatever. But it is a passage that we can actually glean how faith works from. So the first one is to look unto him. The second one is to expect from him. Expect something about your life that will reflect fruit bearing in all your endeavors. Expect it. Somebody say, oh, sorry, Pastor, I've come to 2016 without expecting. It's not too late. This is just the third day. Okay? So when you leave this place, in fact, as we are talking now, start expecting. But listen to what I'm going to say first, okay? Start expecting. Expecting something in your marriage, expecting something good that reflects God's word in your life, in your home, in your business, in your career. Expect it. All right? The reason somebody said, well, no, the reason why I don't like to expect is because I don't want to be disappointed. Are you kidding me? You know, so that if you don't expect it and it happens, then you are happy. And if it doesn't happen, it goes on. That's not the way the spirit of faith works. That's the way the spirit of your family works, or your relationship. That's not the way the spirit of faith works. And until you align your thought and your way of life to the way the spirit of faith works, then the man may die the way he came, clueless. So expect it. Because we're talking about Jesus here. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of your faith. Expect that he will do something about your situation. If it's not reflecting God at the moment, expect that his protection will be upon you. Expect it. You know, I remember in those days when I was dealing with a group of young people, whenever they receive a phone call from because we're living away from home, they get so panicky. Somebody is calling you. Why? Because they were expecting some bad news. And one day I said, guys, expect something good. The Bible says, as a cold water to a thirsty soul, so is a good news from a far country. Can you please for once expect good news? When some people will be called into their boss's office, the first thing they expect is, oh, it's determination day. No, why don't you expect God for a raise? You know what things are, what happens? Somebody says, well, your expectation doesn't mean that you will get what you expect. But I can tell you that the fact that you are not expecting it makes it impossible, probably difficult for you to get what you expect or what you desire. So expect something good. Amen? All right. So we've talked about the look. We've talked about expect. The third thing I want to talk about is in verse number 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So the hey is ask. Ask. Ask of him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the heart for your possession. Ask. Ask. The spirit of faith is not a mute, silent spirit. The spirit of faith is a talking spirit. And that's why I get so disappointed when we are in church and people keep mute, keep silent. When a prophetic word is being released, people keep mute. People don't even know how to say amen. Praise God. You know, saying amen is not to help the preacher to preach. Saying amen, you get. If you're a preacher that works in prophetic grace, and I say a preacher that works in prophetic grace, you are not necessarily a prophet. The fact that you work in a prophetic grace doesn't make you a prophet. All right? The Bible speaking about Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. He wasn't an evangelist, but there is a grace to do the work. All right? There are instances, by the grace of God, when I stand here and I receive a word from God, and I speak those words in prophetic declaration. Right? And I expect a response. The response is, I connect with it. I agree with it. It's called amen. I connect. I agree with the word you have just spoken. Why? Because there has to be an agreement for it to take place. All right? If two of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, not when the pastor speak it upon you. If you don't agree with it, it doesn't work. And your agreement is your verbalization of your belief. You don't believe in silence. You believe by speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter, okay. All right, people of God, let's move forward. Okay, so I'm talking about asking, all right? Ask, 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 ask. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, very popular part of the scripture says, ask and you should be given. Seek, you should find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone that asks, receive. You know that particular passage is not just talking about ask once and go away. If you read it in the Amplified context, the original passage reads something like this: ask and keep asking, and you'll be given. Seek and keep seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep knocking, and it shall be open. And the next verse 8 says, for everyone that keep asking receives. Somebody says, you know, I just asked once, I just asked my neighbor once, and I don't ask again. You know, you don't bring your neighbor's idea into God's kingdom. Okay? Say, I asked him for a spade yesterday, he didn't give me, so I'm not going to ask again. That's your neighbor, and that's okay, that's fine. When you come into the kingdom, you drop that. In this kingdom, you ask until you receive. Okay? Ask and ask until you receive. It's not. Well, I've asked God once. If you want, he does it. It doesn't work like that. I will teach on this some other time. It doesn't work like that. Ask and keep asking. This man asked, and so he received. The leap of faith requires you to ask, and that's why I don't understand how people want to practice in the kingdom and not pray. I don't understand how people want to expect that their lives is going to be beautified and keep silent. I still don't get it. I still don't understand why people think that they can just sleep all their day on the bed and expect that by the right time they rise up in the morning, things will be fixed. I don't get it. If you understand the demonic influence that comes on a daily basis and the influence of the power of the here that wants to destroy your life, you won't keep silent. You won't. The reason why people don't pray is because they don't have an understanding of the way the spirit realm works. If you do, you won't keep silent. Not even when you are looking at me now. Praise God. And I'm serious about this. The prayer life of people are just in shambles and they expect the miracle. How does it happen? By asking. You need to open your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will feel it. I don't come into your belly and keep it open. No, you open it. I will feel it. The blessings of God in the year for us comes in the vehicle, on the vehicle of asking. You need to ask. You need to ask and keep asking. Finally, people of God. So we've talked about look, we've talked about expect, we've talked about ask. And finally, I want to talk to you about the placement or the position and the placement. Look at the way this man was. Now, the Bible says, regarding this man, he was being brought to the temple. So there is a connection with the temple of God. In fact, the Bible says he was being brought daily to the temple. Now, the temple of God, to us in this age and time, may refer to the congregation of God's people. Church, to keep it simple. There has to be a connection between you and the local assembly and the local congregation of God's people, because that's where it takes place. That's where lifting, elevation, direction comes through. This man was always brought, the Bible says, daily. Now, can you imagine that this man has been brought on Monday, on Wednesday, or on Friday, and he missed that particular day, you know, maybe it was a Saturday, and he came on a Sunday, and he came, will he have got this miracle? No. Was he ever at the temple, or close to the temple, like in this case? Yes. But it wasn't, if you were never consistent, you may miss up on the leap of faith. If you were never consistent, you were never there. Why? Because it has to be a daily thing. In this instance, it refers to consistency. You don't mark the calendar and say, I've been there this once this month, so the next time is next month. People don't enter into God's blessing that way. The connection with the house of faith is not something you just wake up and say, well, it's sunny today, I will go. It's raining tomorrow, I'm not going. No. On a daily basis, there has to be a positioning, a covenant positioning with God's people. And that's what opens the windows of heaven for you to be blessed. This year, I want you to make a decision in your heart and say that I will be consistent in my position, in my placement in God's house. Don't forget, this man entered into the temple after he had already got his miracle, but he got the miracle because he was at a positioning, he was placed close to the temple. His miracle did not start by looking. His miracle did not start by expecting. You notice that? His miracle did not even start by asking. His miracle started when he was placed rightly. And if you're going to change position, people of God, you need to change your placement. And I'm talking specifically in terms of your connection with the household of God, connection with church, your local assembly. You need, there has to be a revival in the way you attend church this year. Just make it one of your, if your sheet is already full, just add it somewhere there, your resolution. I will be consistent with my engagement with the household of God. I will be consistent with my engagement with the household of God. Come rain, come sunshine, I will be consistent with my engagement with the household of God. People of God, there is a better way to live. There is a better way to live. And the better way to live is to leap, is to engage in the leap of faith. It's a fruit-bearing season, but unfortunately we may miss out if we don't look well, if we don't expect of him, if we don't ask and keep asking, and if we are not positioned in the right way to receive from him. Let us pray.